Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about ghosts on a medium's vacation with medium and author Rob Guttrow. Now, one place that you, because you just mentioned prisons and jails, you know, I've talked to several different locations, different prisons, very haunted. And you think from two ways, because of the prisoners, for whatever reason, they might have done something horrible. They might have been accused of something horrible. But then there's also the jailers that might still be there because that's their job. They got to keep people safe. This is what they do. But when you were at a, and I don't know how to pronounce it correctly, but in Cork City, there was an old jail. Gaol?
Yes.
Is it, how do you pronounce that? G-A-O-L.
It's jail.
Okay.
And I just say the Americanized version, jail.
Okay. So. I wasn't sure how to pronounce that. But you had several encounters there.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. There were there were eight ghosts that I met in Cork County Jail. And that's kind of typical. I mean, if you think of like Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania as a place for paranormal investigators, they go there because it's so very haunted. So it wasn't surprising that I met eight ghosts. But what was surprising is how they reveal themselves. So one of the things ghosts do in order to convey their identity is they share their pain of death with me sometimes. That goes for people and animals. So I've solved many mysteries about how pets passed away, which is kind of crazy to me, but it's true. Some of them were beaten. Some of them died in their cell. I remember going up to the second floor of the drum gallery, and there was a prisoner named Daniel who was being escorted to his cell, and he was kind of fighting with the guard, and the guard beat him over the head with a big blunt object, and I felt it as I got up I got up on the second floor, and then I touched the back of my head, and I felt warm. It felt like warm liquid, like blood. And he said that he was beaten by a guard here at the top of the stairs, thrown in his cell, and that's where he died. And I sketched him in the book as well, so he's in there.
That whole thing was a little disturbing to me, how you can sense how someone passed and feel it, like, in your head. Because I don't know how I would handle that information coming in. Because do you just feel more of a sensation, or is it more of a physical pain, or can it be a little bit of both?
It's actually both.
Wow.
So, yeah. So when I'm on investigations, I can feel those pains. But when I do readings, because I do readings for pets who passed, they share all kinds of things. Like last night, I was doing a reading for a dog and a cat, rather, and suddenly my right arm and my right leg suddenly went weak. So I knew there was a neurological condition there. And so they share those kinds of things. And it's just really to get me to understand what happened to them.
Is it to validation, maybe? That
it's
kind of a way for them to come through and connect with you and validate, this is how I passed. Kind of a weird greeting card, if you will. Hey, here's what happened to me.
It is. And the same thing on paranormal cases I've been on. In my book, Case Files of Inspired Ghost Tracking, we went into a house that we didn't know what happened. And it turned out to be what I call a double murder ghost investigation. And the women shared all kinds of physical, horrible things that happened to them that wound up taking their lives. And they were all proven with the police report.
Wow. Later. And you didn't know that before you went?
We had no knowledge. I didn't even know where the house was until an hour before I was supposed to be there.
Is it kind of emotionally draining?
Especially
like an investigation like that. Maybe when you're on vacation, you might be able to kind of control it a little bit. But it seems like getting that information, especially like in the prison, and it's like, hey, and you're feeling the sensation in your head. And I would just think at the end of the day, encountering eight different spirits, that would be quite emotional. And I would think you'd be rather exhausted.
It does. And another reason why it's exhausting is that earthbound ghosts and the spirits who have crossed over will both use your emotional energy in order to get strong enough to communicate. And it drains you. So yes, you're physically exhausted, you're emotionally worn out, you're mentally worn out after communicating with them. And I ran into eight in that prison. As a matter of fact, I was so tired after I got out of there that I couldn't drive. I just asked Tom to drive.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm done.
There was another story I wanted to ask you about in Ireland, and it was St. Nicholas's grieving ghost.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. Can you kind of talk about her?
She was a kind of a surprise to me. We had gone into, I think it was Galway. We had gone into St. Nicholas's church, and it was a beautiful church inside. It was actually, that church has been around since 1320. It's just amazing. So sometimes churches have ghosts in them. And the reason is because sometimes parishioners fear to cross over. So they decide to stay and haunt the one place where they can find comfort. And that's a church. But in this particular case, it wasn't about that. At the very back of the church, there was a Celtic cross. And a Celtic cross is one of those crosses with a round circle up the top. And Ireland is famous for them. When I was in the back of the church, when I got to the back of the church, it wasn't until I got there that I sensed a woman. And she appeared to me in a shroud, in black. She was all in black. And she also had a veil over her head. And she said she was heavy in grief. I had asked her why she was lingering at the monument, and she didn't answer, but she turned and she looked at the monument. And so I said, okay, well, all right, you're not going to tell me. So I walked over to the monument and I read it, and it said it was dedicated to people who died in the war of 1916. So she didn't tell me her name, but she said that the reason she decided to stay behind at the church was to pray for her loved one. And hope they found peace in the light. And I found that really, really ironic.
Yeah.
Because here's a woman who loved her husband so much that she wanted to stay behind in a church to pray for him to cross over. And in doing so, she prevented herself from crossing over.
And did you feel like that could be something you could help her with? Or was she, this was what she has resigned herself to, is just being there?
So I did. I tried to explain to her that he had crossed over because I didn't sense him. But she was insistent. She said, no, I must stay and I must pray for my husband. And I couldn't, again, it's all about marketing and selling it. You know, I was trying to tell her that her husband has crossed over and she wouldn't hear of it. So if you go there, she's going to be there right in the back by that Celtic cross. Oh. It's tragic, but like I said, all I can do is try.
Right. One story I found really interesting because, you know, you're in Ireland, so of course you're going to all these historic locations, but then you guys went to a shopping mall and you had an experience there.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Little did you know what had happened there.
Oh, some of the craziest things. Yeah. So you certainly don't expect when you're going into a modern looking shopping mall that there's going to be a ghost or multiple ghosts. But in fact, there were. And this was also in Galway. Galway is a pretty haunted place. it was called the Corbett Court Shopping Mall. That's right. Yeah. Corbett Court Shopping Mall. There was something like 40 stores in there or something. We just went in to like, look to see if we could get any souvenirs or something like that. And it was right near, the front door near an escalator. And I felt all of this anxiety, and it felt like traumatic deaths had happened in the shopping mall. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what in the world was it? Was it like shooting or something? I had no idea. But they conveyed that something happened there and they were trapped, and that's where they died. And I thought, what in the world? So, and there were no markers outside or anything. So when after we left there, we actually met up with our tour guide, and I told him about the ghosts in the mall. And so he said something that flipped me out. He said that there were buildings that were there before the mall, and there was a massive fire in 1971. 8 buildings caught fire, and there were more than that damage. I don't remember how many. But he said that it was a department store, and that people got caught trying to run outside, and they got trapped, and they died at the front door where I ran into them. And they're still there.
And you're just going to buy some souvenirs.
Yeah, I'm like, let me find a postcard.
So, I mean, it can happen any place you go. You just don't know.
Yeah, you really don't know. You know, you don't know what happened 50 years ago on the site.
Another thing, too,
I learned that's interesting is that ghosts choose to inhabit a structure. When that structure gets razed or torn down or goes into ruins, they look for the next nearest structure that remains intact. Just as we would as living people, we would, you know, seek out shelter. And ghosts who are out in the elements understand that because weather is energy, and weather, if you think about it, wind, rain, especially wind where you are.
I'm windy here all the time.
It has a very erosive capability. So wind is energy. And wind can act to erode the energy that ghosts have. Think of ghosts as like a little ball of energy. And you have wind that keeps buffeting it, and it keeps weakening. So they look for the next shelter, the next structure that's close by in order to stay or haunt, if you will.
Because I just assume, you know, it's like, why wouldn't they be here? There's still 4 walls here. There's no roof, but why wouldn't they be here? But that explanation makes sense to me. It's all an energy thing.
It is. Yes.
Now, do you and your husband pick locations to travel to thinking you might have encounters? It's an interesting history. And that's why, like the book about Birdcage Theater, was that just a place that interested you, which is why you decided to go there?
Yes, it was. So no, to answer your first question, no, we never pick vacations where I want to encounter dead people, because I don't.
Because you want to go on vacation.
I want to go on vacation. Tombstone is a totally different story. Back in 1993, when the movie Tombstone came out with Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer, I felt something eerily familiar about it, and I decided I needed to go. This was long before I met Tom. So I decided to go the next year. I went with a friend of mine named John, and John was a really fun guy. And so I convinced him to go with me, and we dressed up as Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday to explore the town. Yes! It was so much fun.
That's so fun, because people would obviously think that you're reenactors.
They did. So remember that back in 1994, there was no internet. There were no cell phones. Mm. There was no way to get data about any place. What we had a paper map of the entire state of Arizona, and Tombstone was just a little dot. That was it. That's all we got. And the only other things I knew was what was shown in the movie. And the movie, by the way, was filmed in a Tucson studio lot. That whole town that they built for that movie was in a Tucson studio lot, which has burned down, by the way. So nothing in it was accurate about where things were. So once, when we got in the town, I realized why it was eerily familiar. Because a tourist came up to me and asked me for directions to the courthouse, the historic courthouse. And Carol, right from the beginning, I didn't even think twice. I said, oh, well, you just go down, you go down Allen Street, two blocks, you take a left, you go down one block and you take a right, and it's on your left-hand side. And the tourist thanked me, and my friend John looked at me and he goes, what in the world did you just tell that guy? We've never been here. We don't have a map of this place. Why would you tell him that? And I looked at him and I said, I don't know. Well, we followed my directions, and sure enough, that's exactly where the courthouse was. And I realized later, much later in life, that I had a past life there. I knew where it was. There's no other explanation.
So do you think after you die, you can have another life after that? I've always kind of believed in that.
Yeah.
So does your spirit just kind of move on with you and then you're gone? You know, I'll use my dad for an example. I still feel him.
Okay.
It just kind of, not right now, but when I need him, I can feel him. Mm-hmm. I get pennies from him, and there's signs that I get. Because I feel like for him, he'd rather make sure that his kids are good throughout their lives, no matter how old they are.
Yes.
At some point, can he move on and go into another life then?
He can, but every person that he knew in his life needs to cross over first before that happens. And then he can start again. And that's what I've experienced.
Years ago, a guy I was dating was killed in a car accident. It's a really long story.
Gosh.
About some experience that I had with him. And then it was really intense. And it was definitely around me for several days. And then I knew that I knew this was it. I wouldn't be having these experiences all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a dream one night where he came to me, and I was so excited because here he was, and I got to see him again. And we had this great conversation, and it was like I'm talking to him. But at the end of that, he said, I won't be back.
Wow.
And I was like, what do you mean you won't be back? And he said, I can't come back anymore. So I've always wondered about that, because I feel like my dad kind of hung out, but mm-hmm. I've had dreams about Doug, but they weren't visitation dreams by any means. That was the last one I had. And so I just have always kind of wondered, what happened? Why do I kind of feel one and I've never felt the other? Because I just knew, I guess he'd moved on, whatever that means. I don't know.
The spirits will typically not come back once we understand that they're at peace and they're okay and we have accepted their death.
Yes. Yeah. That I think is key, the acceptance.
Family is different. Family will always be protecting us from the other side and leading us to the right things. That's the difference. And pets are the same way. Pets will always be there from the other side. They'll always come back.
I can't wait to have a conversation about pets.
Okay.
Because right now I could go on and for another hour just about that, but we're going to separate and do another episode about that. I just think it's also interesting. And you know, if someone is going to Ireland or going to England, get the books or Tombstone. Yes. Get these books and read them, put them on your phone. So you've got them handy with you. It was really fun to read them because I'm picturing Ireland as I'm reading these stories, because I've been to several of these places and it was just such an interesting read. And you've given me some really interesting things to think about. Because I wrote this down. You said, remember, every living thing has a soul. Mm-hmm. A soul within living beings consists of physical energy combined with memories, personality, knowledge from this life. Mm-hmm. And then spirits and ghosts use physical or emotional energy to gather strength to communicate with the living. And that makes sense. So there was a lot of times when I was reading the book, I'm like, oh, yeah, that does make sense. So thank you for that, Rob. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of things that I explain with science, like cold spots. Have you ever heard of an explanation for cold spots?
not like a scientific explanation. Paranormally, obviously, if we experience a cold spot, you think there might be a spirit or something right there or next to you. Like maybe all of a sudden you're sitting there and you got freezing cold. Mm-hmm. But what's yours? Yep. I'm interested.
So, so earthbound ghosts and the spirits who crossed over both use energy to communicate. And I had to think about this from a scientific perspective. Why air would get cold? So what I've come to realize is that what they're doing is they are absorbing the energy of motion of air molecules in order to get strong enough to communicate and power up. So when they absorb the energy of motion and they get strong enough, what that does is that slows the movement of air molecules. And fast-moving molecules of air, like in the tropics, are warm air. Slow-moving molecules of air, like in the Arctic, are cold air. So they create a cold spot where they're trying to materialize.
That does make sense.
See, you can explain a lot of things with science.
It's interesting how you do use your science background and you are able to combine it with being a medium and working in the paranormal field. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's how I know. That's how I prove things. I mean, it's really important for me to prove things. And I'll throw one thing out from Tombstone, because you mentioned Tombstone. When I went in the Birdcage Theater in the back there by the theater area, as soon as I walked through the door from the lobby, I suddenly felt a bullet go through my throat. And I was thrust against the wall and I was gagging. And this was when we first walked into the ghost tour. I took the ghost tour with a friend of mine, who, by the way, never experienced the paranormal, didn't believe in it really, until he saw two ghosts on the ghost tour. But I felt a bullet go through my throat and I fell against the wall and I was gagging and I could feel blood pouring out of my neck. And I tasted the coppery taste of blood in my throat. And the tour guide came over to me and she said, "Are you okay?" And I couldn't speak for about 2 minutes. And I tried to let her know that I'm a medium. And I put my hand up to say, "Hold on, just give me a minute." I was able to finally get my voice back. And I told her what happened. And she said, "Oh my gosh, we have proof that there was a man who was gambling, cheated, got up and turned around to run, and he was shot dead in the throat right here."
And that's what you felt.
Yep, that's exactly what I felt. And out of the 11 ghosts I encountered in there, every single one of them was confirmed by the people that work there.
Do you ever, when that happens, is there this kind of brief, is this a connection with a ghost, or am I having some kind of medical emergency? Because I think there would be a fine line between, because that would be like, and maybe the metallic taste might be a giveaway that this is not of this earth necessarily. I'm having a communication. But there, yeah. I could see there be times it's like, I'm not sure if I should go to the ER or ask somebody if someone has passed in this area.
Yeah. No, I can generally tell when it's coming from somebody else.
If that just happened to me, I would be terrified. Like, what the heck happened? Because it would be scary at first because it would be so sudden.
Yes. It is startling. I will say that. But
have you ever asked or put out into the universe, can y'all just communicate with me a little bit differently? Like, maybe tell me about the happiest time in your life. That's your introduction instead of how you left this world. Might be easier physically for you.
Well, you know, that would be nice, but they typically want to give you a blunt sign to catch your attention.
Yeah, I guess like a birthday party wouldn't be that big a deal.
Right.
This isn't going to get his attention. He now has a feeling of happiness for no reason. Great. I guess
I could be anybody.
Exactly. But that makes sense because especially, you know, with tragic deaths where people are still haunting, basically, that would be kind of their trademark. This is what happened to me.
Yeah. And they want their story told. They really do.
Do you find that sometimes in a tragic passing where maybe someone was murdered or I mean, there's no good reason to murder anybody, but maybe it was something that they didn't bring on themselves. You know, it was an injustice. Mm-hmm. Those people, I would think, would want their story told. Like, here's who did it, especially if it's an unsolved murder. I would mm-hmm. be doing everything I could to have my story told from beyond the grave. I'd be like, I do not want this person to get away with that.
Sure.
Have you encountered something like that?
Kind of, sort of. So my book, Kindred Spirits, is about a spirit of a man named Ed that I befriended from spirit. And he helped me solve the mystery of his own death. And that's in the book.
That I've got to read.
And that brought his dad comfort. And his dad was finally able to stop grieving after 15 years because he got
he needed
closure and answers.
That's a true gift that you have. I mean,
it's I love superheroes, so I call it my superpower.
It's very much your superpower. Now, people can get more information, and I'm going to put a link wherever they're listening to this in the show mm-hmm. notes to your page, which is robgutrow.com. So I'll put a link there so you can just click on it. So there's information about all the books there. There's all kinds of information on the website.
Oh, gosh, yeah. There's a lot of video interviews, podcasts, events. I am booked all the way out to November this year with events.
That's amazing.
So I do one thing that you would be interested in is that I came up with the idea to do fundraising lectures for animal rescues, where the animal rescues will charge a fee to hear me speak and teach people how pets communicate from the afterlife. And then I don't ask for anything from them. All of the money they collect goes to the animal rescue to support the dogs and cats.
I love that so much as I sit here with three rescue pets all within 3 feet of me.
Ours are all rescues too. We have three. They're all on the website. I'm actually going to be in 5 of the 6 New England states over the next 6 months. But if anybody knows an animal rescue that's listening that may want me to come and speak, reach out to me. Like I said, I don't charge them anything. Of course, if I have to travel, you know.
Oh, airfare and stuff.
Well, anything would be helpful.
Yeah.
Because I'm not independently wealthy. But I wish I were.
I need to set you up on a little speaking tour. So you could come here, maybe run up to Kansas City, go to St. Louis.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Now you've given me something to think about. I got to work on this. Let's do this again and we'll talk. We'll go in depth about pets. That's truly one of my favorite things to talk about.
Perfect. That would be great.
I really thank you for your time. You've given me a lot of things to really think about.
Awesome.
Which is interesting because everybody has a different view on the paranormal and life after mm-hmm. death and spirits and ghosts and everything like that. But there's so many things that I read in the book that was like, yeah. So I thank you for that. I love having new insight and a different way to look at the world. So thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for being so gracious. And, my purpose in writing these books is really just to teach people what happens to us on the other side and know that our loved ones are around in spirit. They have crossed over. Most of our loved ones cross over. It's only people that have, you know, other reasons to stay behind. And for all your listeners, if you have a choice and you have a choice when you die, do not ever stay behind as a ghost. Please cross over and become a spirit.
And if you don't, you got to find Rob and so he can help you.
Exactly. Or somebody with my
superpower. Someone with your superpower. And that wraps up our conversation with Rob Gutrow about his book series, Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation. You can get his books on Amazon or go to his website, robgutrow.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, then become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. Or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.